Well, this morning we are continuing with a short study in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, entitled The Beauty of the Church. This is part two, and so if you, and of course it's a series, they're building upon one another, so if you missed part one, you may want to go back and listen to it. We are in a study on Romans, and just wanting to pull back and remind ourselves of the church. We gather weekly. We gather together as God's people. We gather together to adore our Christ. We come together to fellowship, to worship. We come together to encourage and to bless. And this morning we come together to partake in communion together. And by God's grace, hopefully, We're gathering together in smaller forms throughout the week, whether it's home fellowship group or prayer groups or even just meals or things like that. We, as God's people, we are called to meet together, to encourage one another, to bless each other. The church is something that is it's unique and it's special. And we need to think of it that way. We need to devote ourselves to it in that way. The church is God's church, and we are God's people. We need to live and think rightly about this blessing we know as the church. In order to think rightly about the church, in order to do rightly in the church, we need to be equipped. We need to have the right equipment. You need and want to be equipped, to be outfitted so that you can complete your task well, efficiently, and safely. This idea of outfitted filled my mind over this last week. And so as I began to think through that word, outfitted, it brought me to a website that explained how to be outfitted and equipped for panning for gold. It wasn't the first thing that came to my mind, but it is the first thing that popped up on my web browser. I read this article about being equipped for how to pan for gold and to be fully prepared to pan for gold well, efficiently and safely. The author listed a number of necessary items. First were rubber boots. Simply, you need the right footwear. You need something that's going to protect your feet. You need waterproof socks, and not just any waterproof socks. You need knee-length waterproof socks. You need breathable yet durable pants and shirt. You need sun protection for skin and for your eyes. You need a pack of some sort to carry the things in which you need to bring as you pan for gold. You need prospecting supplies. You need pans. You need screens. You need a sifter bottle. You need vials for the gold. You need something to eat and drink, and unless you're extremely resourceful. And then you need a gun, and you need a bow and arrow, or you need all sorts of those things. Other things that didn't make the list that I thought should was a first aid kit. I would need a first aid kit. A snake bite kit. I'm sure many other things might come to your mind. But we need to be outfitted. No matter what sort of task we're going to do, and no matter what sort of hobbies we might have, no matter what jobs we do, we need to be outfitted. We need to be prepared. We need to be equipped. We need to be ready to accomplish whatever is before us. Essentially, we must be ready. We must be ready. And that's true of the church as well. Each one of us in this church has a role to play. And we must be ready. Now, I know looking out there, I see some of you who I assume are visiting. either because I haven't seen you before, or maybe this is the second or third time I've seen you, but maybe you're visiting and you come from some church somewhere, and maybe you're looking for a church, maybe you're here on vacation and you just stumbled into this theater and all of a sudden you found that there's a church here. Well, wherever you fellowship, whatever church that you're a part of, you need to be ready. You need to be ready to serve the dear saints, the dear brothers and sisters that you have at that local body. So this morning, our focus is on the subject of being equipped, or as I've already said, being outfitted. How has God determined to equip you? And what has He equipped you for? Those are some of the questions, or two of the questions, that we're going to answer this morning. Last Sunday, we saw how Paul explained God's plan of bringing His church to maturity. By His plan, God provided the church with apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers or shepherd teachers, so that the saints would be equipped through the teaching and discipleship of the church to build up the church until the church would become mature. It really is a simple thing. The church is to equip the church for ministry. The church is to equip the church for ministry. We should not be looking outside the church for help, but we should be looking from within. We should be looking within. The Lord is the one who has equipped the church to minister again to the church. Now, we know that there are times where the church has not been faithful. The church has lacked in its faithfulness. When pastor teachers have shirked their responsibilities and have neglected to teach and faithfully disciple the church. Of course, this dishonors the Lord. It cripples the church, and essentially, it is a sin against God, and it is a sin against God's people. Those who shrink back from using their gifts in the church hold back what is not theirs to hold back. The modern biblical counseling movement began because pastors were abdicating their responsibilities, neglecting to personally shepherd the believers under their care. Instead of teaching and discipling faithfully, the pastors would send their flocks to get help from secular organizations and secular counselors. When these pastors came to realize that what they were doing was against the Word of God, they then sent their flock to so-called Christian counselors. These counselors attempted to combine Scripture with psychology, and as the pastors saw that this didn't work, and that too was against the Word of God, these pastors repented and began to outsource, still by sending their flocks to biblical counselors. These biblical counselors were for hire. For a fee, they would come alongside the flock or the individuals within the flock, and they would teach and they would disciple these pastors' people. These pastors' sheep. Now, this helped because at least they were men and women who were bringing the Word of God to bear. But the pastors were still shirking their responsibilities. They were still outsourcing their teaching and their discipleship to others. This is not what the Lord has prescribed. The church is God's institution. It is God's organism. The leadership of the church is to work hard for the congregation, seeking to lead the congregation into truth. Brothers and sisters, whether you're part of Anchor Bible Church or whether you're part of another church, You are to encourage the leadership to shepherd you. You are to hold your shepherd's feet to the fire until they shepherd you. They are to work. The job of being a leader in a church is not for the faint-hearted, it is not for the weary, and it is definitely not for the lazy. The local leadership of every church, including your church, they are to keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, Hebrews 13:17. Those who shepherd you will give an account to you, just as a husband will give an account for how he has cared for his wife, just as a father will give an account for how he has shepherded and cared for it and taught and parented his child. A pastor will give an account for how he has cared for his flock. God has revealed not only how church leadership is to minister, but how all the people of God are to minister. The people of God are to minister to the people of God. Church ministry is every person ministry. Commenting on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, where we are this morning, one theologian writes, quote, "In brief, the point is that the gifted persons listed in verse 11 serve as the foundational gifts that are used for the immediate purpose of preparing all the saints to minister. Thus, every believer must do the work of the ministry." End quote. Every believer must do the work of the ministry. What a blessing. What a gift that God has given each and every one of us, that we partner in this ministry that God has given. You are not a spectator. I am not a spectator. We don't have the right to be spectators. We are called to minister. We partner with God. We partner, and He equips us for the work of the ministry, and then we in turn equip others. That really is the flow of discipleship, right? It's one person pouring themselves out into another person, reproducing themselves so that that person may then just continue to go on and pour themselves out into another person. And it just goes down the line, keeps going on and on. Just wonderful gift of discipleship multiplication. Now this brings us to our first point, and you know, really our main point for this morning. There's going to be sub-points to this, but this is really our point this morning, the gift of equipping. The gift of equipping. Now, I mentioned this, but I didn't read it, so let me just turn in my own Bible quickly to Ephesians 4. Because verse 11 is... we need to be reminded here. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4 says, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers." Now we spent, 45 or so minutes last Sunday talking about that verse. And so I won't repeat it, but these are gifts. Those men were gifted. The men who took those roles, the apostle and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastor teachers, those men were gifted the ability to do these gifts. The gifts really was the gift of the apostles, the gift of the prophet, the gift of the evangelist, the gift of the pastor teacher. It's just like any other spiritual gift. These were gifts that these men had to be able to serve the church, to serve God and then serve the church. They were the foundation in which their gift was the foundation in which the church was built. But here we're told in verse 12 that Jesus gave these gifted men to the church. And then he says in verse 12 that these gifted men equip the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, it's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. Some of you might be scratching your head. Why is Chris going to talk about such a verse where it doesn't need explanation? Maybe that's my fault. I feel like everything needs some explanation. But why did God give these gifted men to the church? Well, for the purpose of equipping. Which implies one thing. You and I, we need equipping. Right? When we're redeemed, it doesn't mean we're all of a sudden redeemed with all the knowledge that we need to be able to do the things that we need to do or even want to do. We all need equipping. Whatever equipping I have had, I could use much more. Whatever equipping you have had, you need more. And if you've had no equipping, then you need equipping. We all need equipping. Before New Testament times, the word equipping was rarely used. But it was found in an early medical book on the practice of how to set a bone. And in this medical book, this word equipping is used 47 times. The idea is to reset the bone so that the bone is ready to function as normally as it once did. To be able to function perfectly without any sign of disability. When a bone is set back in place and then functions as it is supposed to, we consider that a success. That's a wonderful success. And that individual is now equipped to do whatever they did beforehand without any form of disability. Right now we have some people in the church who have broken bones. They either still have broken bones or they're recovering from broken bones. And our hope is that those bones will recover perfectly. So they will be able to get back and do exactly what they were doing beforehand. No problems, no extra challenges. Sometimes our bones don't always come back the way that they once were. Sometimes we still feel some of that pain, don't we? They don't function in the same way. We don't have the same sort of confidence that we once had. Many, many, many years ago, I used to be a personal trainer. My goal as a personal trainer was never to bring someone on paying me to train them so that I could just continue to earn from them month after month, year after year. That was never my goal, right? The job of a good personal trainer is that you equip that individual so that they know how to train themselves. Sure, they may come back to you time after time, every once in a while, to get a little bit of a refresher, to be reminded about something, to get past a plateau. But ultimately, you give them, you impart to them all the information that you can so that they can do what they need to do. That's the idea of equipping. The idea of equipping is that, again, you impart someone else the information that they need so that they can do what they need to do. Parents, we do this with our kids, right? Our job is not to keep them immature, but to keep them maturing, keep them growing. And we know as parents, one of the hardest things is to know when to give them that piece of freedom that they so want, and you didn't have to worry about it when they were 2 years old or 4 years old or five or six. But then you find, okay, I need to give them more. I need to give them more. Well, have you equipped them? Have you trained them? Are they outfitted? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul is speaking of spiritual equipping for the spiritual health of not just the individual, but of the church. He wants the people of God equipped or outfitted, but for what? Well, the second reason God gave these gifted men to the church was for the work of service, so that the saints would be equipped for the work of service. That Greek word for service is used 34 times in the New Testament, and it's used a number of different ways. But Paul is talking about the service of ministry. He's talking about the service of ministry or ministry. Just, they need to be equipped for ministry. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul says, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." What does Paul refer to here as his ministry? His testifying. He wants to testify solemnly of the gospel. Well, Apostle Paul was an apostle. But is this really any different for us? Is the principle that's laid out here any different for us? In God saving of you, did He gift you? Well, we know He did. We'll talk about that a little more later, but He did. And your life is no longer your own, right? You've been crucified with Christ. You have a job to do. You have a ministry to fulfill. You have a service to give to others. Never to hold on for yourself. Always to give to others. The same word is used in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, where Paul says to Timothy, "But you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." There were a group of us men yesterday who went to a workshop on 1 Timothy, and we were just all reminded how the pastoral epistles are truly pastoral epistles in the sense that Paul wrote a message to Timothy as the pastor over the church at Ephesus. And as Paul wrote this message to Timothy, he was writing to Timothy. Yet there are implications in that passage for us all. That's why we all read 1 Timothy, not just pastors. But here, he tells Timothy, fulfill your ministry. And we can take that principle, and we should take that principle, and we should apply it to ourselves. All right, I need to fulfill my ministry. Now, there may be other questions. Well, what is my ministry? That's something different. But whatever it is, you must fulfill it. You want to fulfill it. The word ministry should never be elevated so high that it refers only to something that pastors do or church leadership does. But it also shouldn't be reduced to anything that any Christian wants to do anytime, anywhere. Ministry has to do with the ministerial gifts that God has given, the spiritual gifts that God has given His church. The ministry that we do is always meant to be for the church outside of that ministry of evangelism, but even that, in a sense, it's regarding the church. The gifts that the Lord has given to the church for the service of ministry are listed for us in Romans chapter 12. Verses 6 through 8, and 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, And even where we are, Ephesians 4:11. But in 1 Corinthians 12, we see things like the gifts of service and the gifts of teaching and exhortation and the gifts of giving and leading and wisdom and faith and administration and so on. I won't go through and identify all of these and explain what they all mean. That really goes beyond this study, but maybe something to consider for another time. But just another reminder that we've been gifted, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. You've been gifted, and you've been gifted so that you might fulfill your ministry. Now, what part does church leadership play in all of this? Now, if church leadership has been given to help equip you, you know, first it might be helpful for the church to come alongside you and just to help you live faithfully to the Lord. To grow in grace. We're all to grow in grace. In part, that takes place here on a Sunday morning. It takes place during our Sunday school classes. It takes place during our prayer times. Anytime we gather together, there should be some level of encouragement, men's meetings, women's meetings, where we're really, we are faithful servants of the Lord when we are faithfully serving the Lord by living faithfully. Another way that the church leadership can come alongside to help is simply to help you discern your spiritual giftedness. Maybe you don't know what to do. Maybe you don't know where to serve. Maybe you don't know where to be a part. This might sound really unspiritual, but one simple question to ask yourself is, what do I like to do? What do I like to do? The Lord isn't going to give you a spiritual gift that you're like, oh, I hate doing that. Third, another way is to for the leadership to come alongside you and help you to know how to use that spiritual gift. And that's, I guess, where the equipping comes in. Fourth would be to help you find a place to use that giftedness. Fifth would be to walk with you as you serve the Lord and the church in ministry. Paul goes on to explain what this produces and why this is so important. The church equips for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. To the building up of the body of Christ. This act of, the idea of building up refers to the act of bringing something closer to fullness or completion. That's a wonderful thing. Do you realize that how the Lord has gifted you and how the Lord uses you in the church is that He uses you to help someone else get to the point of maturity. What an amazing thing. Parents, you know, we've all seen the lights go on in the eyes of our children. When they get something. Something that maybe they didn't get at one point, and then all of a sudden, they get it. And really, it happens at all sorts of stages, right? The twos and threes, I mean, just all these ahas. If you're a teacher, you see it. A teacher in the church, a teacher outside the church. If you spend any time with kids at all, and you know, and we as adults have our own aha moments, right? Where you're talking with someone and all of a sudden it's just really as someone lifted up that veil and all of a sudden it's, oh, I get it. When someone comes to Christ, there's that, oh, I get it. Well, that's the part that we play in one another's lives, is that we get to be there for that moment of, I didn't get it a moment ago, but I get it now. The word building up addresses assisting in the construction of something incomplete. So our building up of others by the grace of God, in the power of God's Spirit, is all about the completion of something that was once incomplete. And of course, the phrase, the body of Christ, in our verse, refers to the church. This means that we all, every church member has a place, plays a role in the maturity of Christ's church. The word for building up can also be translated by the word edification. God exhorts the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14:12 to seek to abound for the edification of the church. To seek to abound for the edification of the church. I've used this illustration before, but I remember as a young believer, I remember waking up and just being so excited in the morning because I was so looking forward to the remainder of my day, the rest of my day, that as I took off and went to work and went to the gym and spent time with people, that it was an opportunity to proclaim Christ. And it was always, who's the Lord going to save today? Well, that should still be a part of all of our lives as we wake up. Who is the Lord going to save today? But with that, who is the Lord going to edify today? Through me. Who is the Lord going to edify today through you? Who is the Lord going to build up today through you? Who is going to walk away from a discussion, a conversation with you, who's going to be encouraged today? A little later in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, we are told the purpose of spiritual gifts. We are instructed to let all things be done for edification. All things. Everything that we do, every word that comes out of our mouth is to build up. And we know when this includes the body of Christ, when this is about the body of Christ, it doesn't just mean that every word is doesn't include a rebuke or a warning. Because to rightly build up means at times we need to bring a warning. We need to bring a rebuke. That's the loving thing to do. That's the edifying that is needed at that time. The role of edification or building up within the church is wonderfully explained in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, which we're going to get to next week. And here Paul writes, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Each individual part is you and me. We're those parts. The growth of the body refers to the result of each member, each and every individual part, using his or her spiritual gift in the church for the church's growth. So how does the church mature? By you ministering to the church. The church matures by you ministering to the church. By you serving the people of God. Sometimes we as Christians can leave a church because we aren't seeing ourselves growing personally, individually, in maturity. Or there's some other lack in the church. Well, in particular, if we don't see ourselves growing, could the fact that we're not growing be because we're not serving? Could be. There may be other factors involved, absolutely. But it could be that we're not faithfully doing our role and responsibility within the church. We're not being obedient. For the church to mature as God intended, each individual church member has a part to play. When a part of the congregation does not minister, the whole church feels it. And the whole body suffers. Just to summarize here, we have seen that pastors are gifted men who are given to the church by God. They have been given so that they might equip the saints. The role of pastors and church leadership as a whole is to seek to outfit God's people. And God's people must make themselves available to be outfitted. In order for church leadership to equip you, you must make yourself available to be equipped. Pastors equip the saints in the local church for the work of service so that we as a body of believers can do ministry. And we know this is more than just a Sunday morning and more than just a Sunday school time, but it is also this. Discipleship takes place at every level, and it encompasses all of life. A pastor must pour himself out into the body of Christ for the good of the body of Christ. And again, the people of God should make themselves available for this. Brothers and sisters, don't just wait. Don't just sit back and wait for someone to come to you. Seek someone out. It's a dual responsibility. And it is this that produces the building up of the body. This equipping, as you make yourself available, as you seek equipping, this builds up God's church. This is the maturity that we're all seeking after. This is what we're all striving after. Whatever your part is, do it. Do it. And encourage others to do whatever their part is. We've been given one life. And Scripture reminds us often that it's a vapor. It just goes so fast. If you've been saved for any length of time, and sometimes you sit back and you look back with some level of regret, I wish I were more involved. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have taken the time to learn this. I wish I would have asked this person to spend time with me, to help me to do this better, to think this way, to whatever it might be. Do it. Don't wait any longer. Have no more regrets. Your brothers and your sisters need your input in their lives. Wait no more. Serve the people of God in love, which we'll talk about next week. Father, thank you for this time in your word. Lord, we just pray that this very full section of Scripture is rightly presented and rightly heard. Father, may you do your work in us. May your Spirit quicken our hearts. Thank you, Father, for the gift of ministry. And thank you, Lord, that we have such a wonderful partnership in the church. May we do things always for the edification of our brothers and sisters and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.